The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to a busy bank holiday of racing. 7 meetings domestically, 2 in Ireland as well. And the meetings are from Chepstow, Fakenham, Huntingdon, Market Raisin, Plumpton, Redcar and Yarmouth on these shores. Mick Norton, James Millman and Gary Capel will be live on Racing Radio for all of the action from 1:20pm. So do tune in for that. Right now though, my name is Mark Walton and I'm joined in the studio by Mr. James Millman. How are you, James?
Good afternoon. Yeah, pretty good. Busy bank holiday weekend. Lots of jump action on Monday, just the 2 flat meetings, which I will be concentrating on because it's easier. But should be good.
Should be good, yes. And before we move on to that, let's just have a little bit of a reflection on the week gone by. Normally we'd talk about Saturday's racing, but there were no real standout racing on Saturday. So what we'll do is we'll talk about Good Friday, racing on Good Friday for the first time, the inaugural all-weather championships as well. Do you think it was a success, James?
I think it was a massive success. When you got to see the crowds there at Lingfield, a modern-day record, I think 8777 was the crowd, and it looked absolutely packed. Basically probably why haven't we done it sooner. I think it was a great success. We had a very high quality meeting, all the best of weather horses were in action, some cracking prize money, and it was just a good day all round.
I think it will go from strength to strength as well, because it was only announced a few months before.
Yeah, it was announced a little bit too late, because obviously announced at the end of October, and basically my dad included, we run all our horses through the summer, and if you were going to keep any back for the winter campaign, really you would have given them a break in the autumn. But unfortunately it was announced a little bit too late, but we still had very strong fields. But like you say, I think next year people will actually properly target horses for this winter championships, and where the races lacked a little bit of strength and depth, such as the fillies and perhaps the 3-year-olds, I think they'll be much stronger next year, as people see as a potential 150 grand race on offer for horses that generally be racing for a tenth of that prize money. I think it will definitely be much stronger, and it will give a much stronger all-weather season, which is good for everyone.
It is, yes. Good to raise the profile of the all-weather, because I suppose it is sometimes neglected a little bit, isn't it, the all-weather? And if there's a big prize at the end of it, we'll see possibly trainers targeting that. And I suppose the next step would be to get some terrestrial TV
coverage.
Well.
It will be the aim. Whether it will be easy, because obviously bank holiday, Channel 4 will be restricted a little bit. They can only do so many days a year. They obviously didn't do the Craven meeting either, which was a pretty high-profile racing. So I'm not too sure how quickly we will get terrestrial coverage, but I have to say ATI did a cracking job. Matt Chapman was there very early, I think 9 o'clock, doing his upbeat tempo throughout the day at Lingfield. But it was a cracking show, and the fact they only had one meeting, they could properly focus on it. ATI is generally free to air. I think the bookies were saying it was just as the markets were just as liquidy as much for the Good Friday meeting as what it would have been on a terrestrial meeting on the Saturday. So I think that's a good sign. And definitely, it's only going to get stronger.
Yes, hopefully so. So, success for racing on Good Friday. Then you mentioned in their Newmarket's Craven meeting, we saw Tomo win the Craven. Before that, we saw Kingman win the Greenham Stakes. And both of them have been shortened since then for the 2,000 guineas. Kingman, the even money favourite, and he remained that after Tomo's success. Australia is 4-1. Tomo, 6s into 9-2. 10-1 for Kingston Hill, Walkerman 12s, 16-1 for Knight of Thunder and Nuzar Canarius, and then 20-1 or bigger prices the rest. So Kingman was very visually impressive.
Yeah, he was obviously visually the most impressive out of the two. He deserves to be a shorter price. That Greenham was extremely competitive, one of the most competitive Greenhams we've seen for a long, long time. So the form stacks up, and I think he could be a potential superstar. Like the Frankel, my only concern is whether he'll be as effective on a quicker ground. It's pretty soft at Newbury in the Greenham, and on his three starts when he encountered quicker ground at Sandown, he was not as impressive visually as on his other two starts. And he has had an injury problem, so he missed the back end of last year, missed the GS because of a hock injury. And for me, he's not the best mover in the world, so I wouldn't want the ground to be too quick. And if it was on the firm side, I probably would be edging towards Tormore at the prices come Guineas days. But if there's some ease in the ground, I think Kingman will be unbeatable. I do quite like the Spanish horse, Nuzar Canarias or whatever it's called. Ran a nice race when second in the Prix Jeune Luc Lagarde in France. I think perhaps compared to the top two in the market, the English horses perhaps aren't quite that strong, and he could be a little bit of each way value, but a cracking guineas in prospect.
Yeah, I think John Gosden said as well, if the ground is too quick, you won't even run him in the guineas. Which...
yeah, that's kind of key, I think. He said that because obviously his mind, he's had injury problems in the past and he's not the most fluent of movers, but if there's a little bit of good to soften the ground, I think he will be unbeatable.
Okay. Do you find Tomar a little bit hard to work out? I mean, he was top 2-year-old last year. He only ever seems to do enough to win the race. He's not flashy, is he? So.
Not flashy at all. And like I say, when he won the Champagne Stakes up at Glorious Goodwood, he showed an immense turn of foot, but he won by a neck. So what he actually achieved in the figures, we don't know, but he always seems to do enough. He was workmanlike, the Great Gatsby back in second. Probably isn't the strongest of horses to beat, but he may well have improved significantly from 2 to 3. He could do no more than win, and it was a trial. Remember last year, Skyland and the Hannon team, she got beaten in Nell Gwyn and went on to win the 1,000 guineas. So I think you always have to remember it is a trial. The John Gosden team have been in absolutely amazing form. 14 winners from 28 runners. So Kingman, you'd imagine, would have been pretty spot on for the Greenham. And perhaps the Hannon horse will improve more. So I think it will be closer than the odds suggest. But I will be sticking as a win selection, will be Kingsman. But I'll be waiting to bet until the date.
Okay. The 1,000 guineas is a little bit more tricky to figure out, I suppose. Rosina, currently the 7-2 market leader there. 8-1 for a whole horse. I mean, behind that, Itimal, Lucky Crystal, Miss France, My Titania, or Titania. Tapestry is also 8-1. 12-1 for Bracelet, 14s for Amazing Maria, and 16-1 or bigger prices. The rest, does anything scream
nothing
out to
really
you
stands out for me in the 1,000 guineas. Like I say, the fact it's 8-1, Cobot a favourite, just how open it is. None of the fillies have really stamped their potential. Lucky Crystal, we haven't seen her. She do a gallop at the Craven meeting, but obviously gallops are very hard for us to interpret. But I think I'll be waiting until a day to have a bit of a stronger opinion. But for me, anti-post-wise, nothing really stands out in the fillies division. It's a little bit open and perhaps a little bit weak, but hopefully one star will emerge on the date.
Yeah, a bit more tricky, the 1,000 guineas. We'll look forward to that in a few weeks' time. Now it's just over 2 weeks, isn't it, till the guineas, I think. So
not far away at all.
Yeah, so we'll look forward to that. But right now we're going to look ahead to Monday's action, a really busy bank holiday Monday, and we'll get James's thoughts next.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, James is going to look ahead to the action at Yarmouth. He's picked three races out there, the 3 o'clock, the 3:35 and the 5:20. So starting in chronological order, we'll go with the 3 o'clock. And the first race that we're going to look at is a Class 3 handicap over 7 furlongs. And we have 11 of them in the field here. I suppose Lawyer will be quite popular on his reappearance after racking up a double at Wolverhampton in October time, and this is a big step up in class for him, though. Do you think he can land the hat-trick here, or are you taking him on?
Difficult one. He's very well backed on that handicap day when he won at Wolverhampton off a mark of 66. Only won by a neck, and then won by half length the next time up at Wolverhampton. But the handicap has stuck him up £15 for those two wins, so he's certainly taken action. Luca Kamani generally makes a slow to start to the season. He's had horses run well, but he's 0-11. So far in 2014. So you'd imagine he'd still leave plenty of work to come on. He will improve for the run. And is he going to be as good back on the turf as what he was on the old weather? But to be fair, his maidens were at Ascot Newmarket. So he ran in some nice maidens, and you'd imagine he just will improve plenty. What I do like, probably at a price, would be Wee Jean, the Shannon horse, was second to Mixture Man in a conditions race at Leicester. Mixture Man wasn't disgraced on 5th at Newmarket in a competitive sprint next time. Willie Twiston Davis takes off £3. I just think she's no world beater, but each way price will be fitted, and most of these could well be the one to be on. Westminster, interesting, the fact he flopped tremendously up at Windsor 2 weeks ago. Bearing in mind the John Gosden team were flying at the time, it was a very disappointing effort. Perhaps the ground was just too soft. It's set to be much better. Good ground currently up at Yarmouth. And if the money came for him, he would be eye-catching, because KP gave a good word about him in the paddock, but obviously questions to answer after such a bore run just 2 weeks ago.
Okay, so do you side with Wee Jean then?
Wee Jean will be my each-way selection, perhaps get a little bit of value. I think he'll be in the free, even if he's vulnerable to perhaps some better ones, but I think he'll give you a good run for your money.
Okay, on to the 3:35 next then, and this is a Class 4 handicap over the extended 5 furlongs. 6 of them in the lineup, and it would be hard to really write any of them off apart from maybe Callum Brahma. A tricky race to work out this one, James. Who do you like?
Yeah, Piasson is the one for me. Michael Bell, using his apprentice Louis Stewart, very useful £5 claimer, takes his weight down to 9 stone. The striking ambition gelding is a likely race, only 4 starts, won his second up at the red corner, ran a cracking race on reappearance from second at Nottingham in a competitive sprint. Another Champ was well behind, back in about 10th place on that occasion. Only six runners. I'd say he's unexposed. He should improve. He will be the selection. Another Champ is an interesting one. He's only ever raced on soft ground, on a turf, but did get off the mark on your weather in a maiden at Wolverhampton. Perhaps he'll be better on a quicker surface. He's never actually run on anything better than soft ground. So hopefully Qatar racing individual is actually better than what he's shown for Stuart Williams, and he could be interesting at a bit of a price. Finn Flash had a very busy two-year-old season, as the Mick Shannon types normally do. It's his first run after a 178-day absence, but he may just need the run. Eva Clare's been pretty consistent on three starts on new weather. Hard to know whether she'll translate that back onto the turf. And Pennine Warrior, he won a pretty weak maiden on his last start, and he probably needs to improve a little. So Pierson will be the selection in what's probably a trappy six-runner heat.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then the 520 is the final race we're going to look at, and this is a Class 5 handicap, again over the extended 5 furlongs. And Megalika arrives here in winning form after scoring at Catterick last time. Do you fancy him to follow up, or her, or do you like something else in the race?
Yeah, I think got every chance. Tim Clark's not a bad apprentice, gets on well with her. The Alan Bailey team are generally in pretty good form. Very consistent, three wins in the last seven starts, so you've got to rate her in what looks a pretty weak race on paper. She's the only one in strong form. Dancing Freddy ran a cracker, wins second at Pontefract off his much lower turf mark. He actually won a big race off 86 at York not that long ago, about 18 months ago, running off 69. Oceans Murphy's £3 claim will make him dangerous, and he'll probably be the selection with Megalika. Perhaps the handicap are finally going to kind of get a hold of that one. Munster Jamie, beaten favourite last time, a little bit disappointing. He hasn't done better than a mark of 75. Comanche, been out of form for Chris DeWire. So a few of these have got question marks. It's probably between Dancing Freddy and Megalika. And I'm going to go for Ocean Murphy, the very talented £3 claimer, to come out on top.
Okay, Dancing Freddy then in the 520 as always. And let's just have a quick summary of your selections, James, if you wouldn't mind spinning us through them one more time.
Yep, I've gone for Wee Jean in the 3 o'clock at Yarmouth. Mick Shannon's individual, very consistent. Always there or thereabouts. Should be each way bet really in that kind of race. Pierson in the 3:35. Michael Bell's runners lightly raced, unexposed, probably the best one to be on in that six runner contest. And then the last race up at Yarmouth, I've gone for Dancing Freddy to give Ocean Murphy yet another winner.
Okay, thank you very much, James. Good luck with your selections, and you'll be in the studio on Monday, so enjoy the action.
Thank you very much.
So there you go, the thoughts of James Millman on Monday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:20 p.m. with Mick Norton, James Millman and Gary Capewell in the studio. 7 meetings to look forward to domestically and a couple over in Ireland as well, so plenty of racing to look forward to on Bank Holiday Monday. Tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Monday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.